Welcome to My Turn Podcast, a games podcast hosted by extra competitive siblings. My name's Jem and I'm joined today by...
Erim and...
Dylan.
Yay! The three of us are all back. We had another little break because work, you know how it is, work. But we are coming right back at you with some of our top 10 lists as promised. So we're going to kick things off with a top 10 from... Erim, yeah. Ooh. So, Erim, you have compiled a top 10 list of your favourite what kind of games?
Oh, my favourite genre, so strategy games. Obviously, they're all pretty much war-based because, yeah, I'm a massive Age of Empires fan, so it's all kind of in that.
Okay, all right. Erim is Mr. Strategy Game. So,
at least I used to be with the classic ones. I mean, I've kind of broadened my horizons now, but yeah.
Yeah, great. So because a few episodes ago, we were discussing how we've all got really different tastes in video games. And yes, we thought it would be fun to go back through our back catalogues and really explore those games that have meant a lot to us over the years. So we're going to kick things off. We're going in reverse order. So start us off, Erim, your top 10 strategy games. What's coming in at number 10?
So at number 10, we've got Red Alert Tiberian Wars, which was released in 2007 by EA Games, or EA Studios. This is like a frantic semi-sci-fi, it is quite sci-fi, battle. Yeah, battle, what do you call it? Like real-time strategy, where basically... as soon as you start, you have to just like build up a base and go at each other. It's a really, really, really fun game because I love like all the kind of like mix of modern technology with a bit of a sci-fi kind of element to it as well.
Nice.
Yeah, it's frantic, fun. And if you're into strategy games, I think it's a bit of a classic Tiberian Wars. So yeah, definitely one of my favorites.
Lovely. Wonderful. And a sci-fi one as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, the whole Tiberium thing, the planet's basically been kind of infected, I guess, with this weird crystal called Tiberium, which is like toxic to humans, but it's also a really valuable resource. So you're trying to use it, you're harnessing it basically as energy for your units and you have to farm it. But it's actually... attracted some sort of extraterrestrial interest.
Oh, nice.
And at first you think there's only one enemy. You've basically got, I think they're called the GDP or something like that.
Gross, which domestic is, product.
Which is basically like very stereotypical American army guys. And you have to fight against another group called Nod, which is basically the Soviet Union.
Oh, okay.
And then, a third enemy comes along, which, is like something from outer space, a little bit different from typical Red Alert games, which normally feature three main human enemies.
Factions.
Yeah,
nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lovely. Great. Cool. So,
Number nine. Number nine, a similar kind of game in that vein, but a lot more sci-fi. But in terms of the mechanics of the way that this game plays, it's very similar to Red Alert. So this is StarCraft II, which was released in 2010 by Blizzard and is a follow-up to legendary strategy game StarCraft, which I only had limited experience with. So, yeah, I mean, I've rinsed this campaign a few times, StarCraft II. Really, really good game. Love, it's a similar kind of thing, three different factions. You've got, it's a little bit different in that you've got a human faction and a kind of like very technology heavy alien faction. And then also like a bit of a corrupt, monstrous alien, as in like Alien the film kind of faction.
Okay. More animal.
What animal?
More animal, I said.
Oh, more animal. Okay.
Yeah, because there's like a technology-based one. Yeah, and then absolutely. I'm imagining a more kind of animalistic.
Very much like the, is it called the Xenomorph or something? From
Xenomorph is the name of the alien one.
They've definitely taken heavily influence from that. But similar kind of thing, that kind of frantic real-time strategy game where it is just basically as soon as you start, you need to be on it because, yeah, as soon as the fighting starts, it does not stop.
Okay, so it's another sort of go.
Yeah, go. Yeah. Really, I mean, it is a classic game for a reason. It is a really, really good one. And the campaign is great fun. the way it
loved just, it. It's yeah, interesting because those two, you've both said they're both chaotic and go, 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 whereas I don't think of strategy games as being go, go, go. I think like, oh, everything takes ages.
Well, yeah, very cerebral.
They're
usually, you know, you've got to be a bit cerebral. You've got to take time to think. But then you've got to be quick.
Thinking on
the
go, you know, and reacting to what is presented to you by your enemy. Like if they're spawning certain units, you have to think, okay, what is my counter to that kind of unit? And also, like, you know, do I build up defenses or do I invest in getting something that's a bit stronger later down the line, which might leave your base a bit more exposed? So it's that kind of like thinking on the fly. That's the strategy, I guess, rather than something a bit more slow paced and, you know, where you've got time to really think about how your base is built, as I will discuss in later games.
Okay, well, that brings us nicely to your number eight.
Number eight, the game that literally got me into strategy games is Age of Empires 1. And I remember playing this at my cousin's house. Oh, well, at a family friend's house. They kind of feel like cousins. It was, Yazzie
and Kerim. Yeah, nice.
And as soon as, like, I started playing, I was like, what is this? I need it in my life. So, yeah, Age of Empires 1, based in the kind of, like, Babylonian, ancient Greek kind of time, had the Rise of Rome expansion, which I absolutely loved. It is the stereotype of a strategy game. It is fantastic, and I've definitely spent a long, long time playing this, even without understanding all the mechanics. I just like sending.
Yeah, because you were
soldiers.
Really young when you first started playing it.
I mean, it came out like in 1997. It was released by Ensemble Studios, but yeah, 1997. So what? I was like 8, 9, 10 kind of age when I started playing this.
Yeah, really young for a strategy game.
And then I was just hooked straight away.
Amazing. Mm. And number seven.
Number seven, Cossacks, which, and the best way to describe this is Age of Empires on steroids. Because in Age of Empires, like, you tended to have, I think it was a limit of about 50 units that you could have on screen at any time. Whereas Cossacks, it was as much as your computer could handle.
Whoa.
Yeah, so you'd literally have thousands and thousands of units going at each other.
God.
Yeah, so Cossacks, sorry, it was released in 2000 by Ukrainian studio GSC.
So it was actually an Eastern studio.
Yeah, it was an Eastern studio that released it. Yeah, this game is based in the 16th, 17th, 18th kind of century when warfare was more like about formations. I think they refer to it as the pike and shot era. Where
pike and shot.
Yeah, so a lot of your warfare was formations of pikemen.
Long stick with pointy thing.
Yes, exactly, to stop cavalry charges. Then you'd have like musketeers with guns that would be easily exposed to cavalry.
Yeah, because Cossacks, like, famous cavalry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Russian, aren't they? Or at least Eastern
European. I don't know if it's exclusively Russian. Anyone?
No, part of the world.
I don't know if it's exclusively Russian, yeah.
But yeah, really, really cool game. That mass units marching in formations as well was really quite impressive to see. I think it was really ahead of its time because to have that many units on screen in one go, I mean, yeah, the only thing I could think of that did something similar to that was the original Shogun Total War games.
Okay.
And the graphics and the fidelity just seemed to be a lot better in this game than what was currently, you know, the systems at the time were able to really handle. So they did a really good job of it.
In 2000 as well. That's on the verge of things sort of changing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really, really cool game. Okay, so let's go on.
Number six, I believe we're on now.
God, yeah. Battle for Middle Earth. Nah. 2004, released by EA Los Angeles. Oh my God. So I loved, absolutely loved Lord of the Rings. And obviously, like, when you saw the two towers and that battle with the 10,000 Uruk-hai, and then there was a game where you could kind of do it. The amount of times I used to try and, like, replicate that battle in various different games. And then we had Battle for Middle Earth, which had that battle in it and also had the battle for Minas Tirith as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. So you got that kind of, like, typical, strategy game where it was, you know, units fighting against each other. But the inclusion of heroes and how they all had special powers and certain roles that they could play. So you've got that like very cinematic kind of thing, like where the cavalry would charge through units and like, yeah, basically you'd send loads of orcs flying.
Did this
as you
one
went
have cutscenes then?
It did, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Have any of the others had cutscenes?
StarCraft did, and Red Alert Tiberian Wars did. Age of Empires, not really. Not the first one. Cossacks didn't really either. In fact, actually, it was one of the things it was kind of lacking. It was kind of like, it would just give you a brief like synopsis of what you happened. Needed to do in the scenario and then kind of let you do what you wanted.
Okay, whereas Middle-earth had the cutscenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were they the cinematic ones?
What, from the film?
Yeah.
No, it was just your units would be animated to do certain things, if I remember correctly.
Because I remember having the GameCube Lord of the Rings game, and that was like the cinematic cutscenes. It was amazing. I actually really like that game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was really good. Yeah. Yes, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
number five, then, I feel like. Oh, going up the list.
Yeah, number
five.
So this is basically three games, but I consider them as one. The Warhammer Total War series, released in 2016, by Creative Assembly. This game, every like so many months, there seems to be a new patch or a new addition to it, and it just gets fleshed out more and more and more. And with the release of number three, I think they basically got all the factions into the game now. So whereas it started out with just four or five, it has now got the complete list of Warhammer Fantasy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah, I have no idea how people can go through this game and play every single campaign. It's so, so big. And it really, if you're a Warhammer Fantasy fan, this game really immerses you in that kind of world. The heroes are really, really cool. The way you can customize them and build them up as well, and like the way that they play, and some of them can just literally take on entire armies by themselves if you're tactical enough with them.
Wow.
It's just really, really cool. Yeah, I really hope that Total War can carry on making series as good as this, because they've had a few misses recently, but this one still seems to be going strong where they're adding more and more to it. So yeah, Warhammer Total War.
Yay! Okay, so we're getting close now. We're getting close.
Are
number four.
Yeah, my favourite little castle sandbox game, Stronghold, 2001 Firefly Studios. I spoke about this one in our previous podcast, but basically, if you've ever wanted to build a castle and test how it would go if it was attacked by various different armies, this is your go-to game. I love that you can really customize how you're going to build your castles and do really cool like wall designs to like even trap your enemies in certain like, what do you call them, choke points. Yeah, and like set this whole little passage on fire and things like that. It's just it is a really creative strategy game, and I hope they can make more games like this, actually.
Yeah, because I remember you saying it had the sort of Animal Crossing elements of like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can decorate your castle. You can put some stocks here. A torture rack there. Yeah. Maybe a maypole if you're feeling nice as
festive.
Well. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely amazing game. So let's go to number three, which is my... the game I used to play pretty much every day after school, after secondary school, Rome Total War.
I remember
released
this
in 2004.
Just being on all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Released by Creative Assembly. Oh my God, I absolutely love this game. So this is the first one where the units really felt quite human. Before, with the original medieval Total War, it was quite zoomed out and everything was quite pixelated feeling, whereas this actually gave you that feeling like you were controlling hundreds of men in a unit. Like they felt like, you know, a good 3D model. And it was just, I was blown away by how cinematic it felt, like marching these two armies of what looked, I guess at the time, like real people fighting against each other. Yeah, this game absolutely blew me away, and I absolutely loved playing as Carthage, because there's nothing more fun than getting
Carthage.
Carthage, yeah. Yeah, the Carthaginian Empire, because yeah, they get elephants, and elephants are great fun in wars. Again, you discharge them into things, you see everyone flying everywhere. Oh, so just, yeah, very, very, very impressive. Yeah, great game.
Oh, right. Wow.
Let's go to number two.
Number two!
Who would have thought it's another medieval, it's another Total War game. So this one, Medieval Total War 2, 2006 Creative Assembly. So this is basically the successor to Rome Total War, just a more high fidelity version and set more towards the Middle Ages of Europe. Again, this was a really cool game. The scale was epic. It introduced really, really cool castles as well, like multi-layer walls. So yeah, it felt like when you did have sieges and battles like that, you had to actually like retreat as you were being attacked. So it kind of, I used to love siege battles. I used to love defending my towns and castles and stuff like that. And I think just in general, that kind of period of like seeing knights in full armor, I don't know, just something about that, I just find a little bit more impressive than, I guess, like the Rome kind of era of history. So it's very similar to Rome Total War, but I just think like that's slightly
got the edge.
Bit, yeah, and plus you have mechanics like the Crusades and stuff going on as well, which are great fun as well.
It's got that sort of romanticism to it. That sort of very because it is also wrapped up in stories in Arthurian legend.
And,
and, you know, like, yeah, as you say, the holy wars and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just like, it's, there's a lot around that. Lovely.
Great game.
I feel like we need some kind of like fanfare or drum roll.
Oh, can we do a drum roll on the microphones?
I mean, I've got a junkie next door.
And your number one strategy game is...
This game is still going strong to this day. There are still people playing it online, and it is a credit to how good this game is. In 1999, released by Ensemble Studios, Age of Empires 2 came out. And yeah, you remember how much time I spent in Age of Empires 1? Well, this was that, but even better. And again, set instead of that kind of like ancient Greek era, again, in the medieval times. Mm-hmm. It was just like genuinely, even to this day, the graphics are beautiful, the units are beautiful, the way you upgrade everything. I don't know, it just has everything for me. And I just feel like I can revisit this game at any point and still enjoy it. Also, the scale of the battles actually became a lot bigger than in the original Age of Empires. You could have up to about 200 units. And I feel like that really helped the feeling of like epic battles where you actually control huge groups of units, like trashing people's towns and stuff like that. It just speaks for itself really that people are still playing this game. There's still a huge community that are still revisiting it. I just think it is, this is like the archetype of strategy games. And I think that is like the gold standard that all future strategy games should aim for. And if someone can recapture that magic, that would be amazing. I'd love to see another game like this do so well. I mean, amazing. I know there's been Age of Empires 4, but I've not had the opportunity to play it. But I don't think it's sparked as much interest.
And
as
you didn't
this game
like 3?
Has.
No, 3, I remember playing 3. It was really disappointing.
It basically wasn't Age of Empires, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't get a great reception. I mean, no. I don't play these games, but I remember seeing people moan about it.
I mean, I played it because it was one of the only Mac compatible games at the time. So I played it quite a lot then, but yeah, it doesn't belong to our series.
Okay. Cool. So we've got 1 minute. So yes. I've got a question for you.
Yes.
If you were to design the best strategy game ever based on all the things you've like in a nutshell, what would it be?
Okay. So it would have to have the castle building elements of Stronghold. It would have to have the epic scale of the Total War series, and it would have to have like the town design of things like Age of Empires. I would love to see you be able to completely build your own towns in something like a medieval game where you can actually set up how the walls and stuff are and decide where you're going to place pitch and things like this. I think it's just got to be a combination of those top games, really. I don't think anyone has quite managed to get all three of those elements to work together in a successful way. So yeah, that would be my answer to that. Merging
Lovely.
All of that together. To
Amazing.
Make super strategy.
Super strategy game. Well, thank you very much, Aaron, for your top 10 strategy
You're
games.
You're welcome.
You know what I want to know? Maybe one of our listeners knows. Are there any strategy games that don't involve fighting? Real-time strategy games that don't involve killing people?
Like war.
Yeah. Everything seems to be war-based, but... I can't think of anything that counts as a strategy and not a different genre that doesn't have fighting.
I'm going to sound really stupid, but I don't know anything about these games. what happens in Civilization? Is that war?
There's fighting.
Yeah,
there's technology building, but there's also fighting.
It's not exclusively fighting, no. But yeah, there is definitely
some war.
Yeah. And there are games you can go down a pacifist route, but they still have fighting. I want to know if there's one that doesn't have any fighting.
Because I discussed whether sort of theme park type things, but that's more Sims. So
yeah. It comes under simulation genre, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Woodstock total love.
Total peace and love. Yeah, maybe you've got to build like lots of communes.
Yeah.
And you've got like rival hippie groups that come
rival
for your coming for your followers. But then is that just a sim? Is it just a sim if it's not fighting? Is that just
Who
the
knows?
Definition?
I don't know. Yeah,
don't
because
know.
I guess you could have things like drug wars and things like that, couldn't you?
Fighting.
Yeah, but it's not war.
People still get killed.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know.
They get killed. They do.
I don't
know. People die.
It's a good.
People are exploited and die in the farming process,
like
and then people die.
The nice Yakuza or something.
In the exchange of products.
The nice Yakuza.
And people die in the turf wars. Yeah,
oh, maybe there could be like a religious conversion game where you just have to try and get
Isn't
people to join.
Isn't that Cult of the Lamb?
But you kill people in that.
Oh yeah, you
sacrifice.
That, yeah.
There's no sacrifices. You just have to convert people to your religion. And there's kind of like you're fighting against people to get more followers.
Yeah.
But you're not actually doing anything violent.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let us know, listeners, friends. Let us know. So we are on the socials. We're on X and we are on Insta. We monitor Insta a lot more. If you want to get in touch with us, I know some of you have recently, so that's really nice. So hello, and please share the love. Let us know if there's a top 10 you'd like us to look into. We've got a couple more coming up in the next few weeks. Listen in and we'll catch you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.